ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's the rare morning edition of the Crazy Sheet where we get together, we start talking some college football. Scotty, I'm here in the podcasting studio. You're at home. Big week last week, Scott. That sure was a damn good time.
Man, that was a huge week. We have had two really good weeks back to back. Gets us to 28-18. Now we're talking, baby. 10 games above the Mendoza line. I like that.
I tell you what, I was swinging most of the day, and I ended up losing a late night bet. But other than that, I mean, I thought, you know, it was a lot of chalk. We've gone a lot of chalk 2 weeks in a row. I thought last weekend, as far as games, lived up to the expectation. You know, a lot of times when you get all those games, they don't get there. But there was some questionable play calling in some games, and I'm sure most people can go into that. But I thought last week was entertaining. It was a lot of fun.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great games. As a Mississippi State fan, we continue to do things that I feel like are impossible to do. And every season, we figure out a way. We had a dude have 250 yards receiving last week and lost.
That's special.
I mean, how in the hell do you do that? I mean, it was just touchdown after touchdown. It was crazy. Exactly what I expected to happen in that game. It's the reason I did not bet on it. I knew State would play hard. They just aren't a very good football team. I mean, that's the bottom line. They can't get off the field. We'll talk about that a little more when we get into this week. I thought Coach Prime was totally exposed. If that game wasn't at 11 o'clock, I would be wooding USC again because they're completely outmatched. I think the interesting part of that game, I think Caleb Williams is going to come in and play. When is the returning Heisman winner the guy who's gotten less press in a game? It ain't very much.
No, it's weird.
And he's getting less than a dude at his position. And I think he is going to come out and gas down this weekend. The bottom line is they don't have an offensive and a defensive line. We talked about it. There's a reason that team's over-under win total is what it was. Are they better than I thought they would be? 100%. They do not. And look, they're getting some bad luck. And also that Pac-12 is probably the best it's been in a decade.
That's true, too.
And there's some really, really good football teams. The Notre Dame Ohio State game. I mean, how soft is Ryan Day? You're going to roll out on an 80-year-old?
Let's be clear for a second. My man Lou Holtz, literally, just to get him through an entire, you know, presentation sentence. I've sat next to Lou on a plane before, and Lou talks a lot about Lou, and he's a little bitty guy. And he slobbers like a motherfucker. Like, if you've never watched, I mean, you almost have to wear safety glasses when you're talking to him. Somebody last week referred to him as the Irish Squirter, which I thought was a fantastic name. I almost need a T-shirt for it. But, yeah, I mean, he's got him a natty. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. And Day taking aim at him, I'm like, come on, bro. You literally took this program over standing on third base, and you're trying to tell me you hit a triple. It's like, the team is underperforming. You got the win. How are you going to call Ohio against the world? What are you talking about? That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It was terrible.
It was absolutely terrible. Look, they shouldn't have won that football game. I thought Notre Dame did a really poor job at the end of that football game. I'm not even including the – I won't even go into the fiasco of not having enough guys on the field. That's bad enough. I do have to say, though, the reason for not sending the guy on late was they didn't want to get a penalty. They were at the 18-inch line. I mean, what are they going to move it to 9 inches? I mean, really?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't
get 11 out there. I mean, they almost stopped him with 10. They might have stopped him if they'd actually had an end on that side of the line. I mean, you got to get a dude out there. But what I thought was worse than that, they did not make Ohio State use their timeouts in that last drive. And I think that is really what lost them the ball game. I can also get into, I hated the coverage on those two long pass plays they got into. I understand Harrison's Harrison, you know, and you gotta put a safety on top of that guy, but you can't let their second best receiver, who would be the number one receiver on 98% of teams in America, run 20 yards down the field in the seam wide open twice. You just can't do it. And I'll never understand that. I do feel like Notre Dame was the better football team. My favorite part of that day, fiasco and all of that, was Lou Holtz coming back to clarify what he was saying. He's full on insults them again, basically saying they are soft. You know, that was the great. And then he offends Notre Dame, basically saying they did a poor job, you know, ending the ball game. I thought it was great. His response, it's just like, I don't care. And you're talking about needing visors when you're around a guy. There's a guy that I know, a bunch of people, we call him Rainbird. He's a sprinkler. You got to watch out. So you're saying that Lou Holtz is Rainbird. That's what you're saying.
I mean, it's going everywhere with the plop, plop. Penn State, Penn State, Iowa. If you didn't watch that game, you didn't miss much. Penn State's great. I'm looking forward to them in a couple of weeks. I think they may punch Ohio State in the mouth. Penn State ran more plays, 97, than Iowa had total yards in the game in 76. Iowa's offense is as broken as it has been in years. I have no idea how Ferentz is going to keep his job. But yet this week, they're laying nearly two touchdowns to Michigan State. One of my favorite things I saw last week is Texas State was down 17-0 to Nevada. And one of the Texas State band members took the turnover trident that the Nevada Wolfpack have and threw it into the stands. And Texas State rallied off 35 points and went on to win that game. And the Texas State band member was kicked out of the stadium for stealing their turnover trident. Hell yes, the band is on the field. Let's get some band going there.
I love it. You gotta love a band member getting aggressive, rallying his team.
Oh yeah,
getting fired up. I love it. That is a great story. I was totally broken. I agree with you about Penn State. I'm not positive. They're not the best team in the Big Ten.
They're good.
And there's a lot of people that still aren't buying into them. You look at bettors and things like that. You look at some of the power ratings, man, they still got Penn State really low. That's not what I'm seeing with my eyes. Let me say it like that. They look like a good football team that's going to continue to get better. Still got a young quarterback. So, I mean, it's a, you know, who's going to continue to improve. The defense is good. Obviously, they can run the football. I agree with you. Iowa is totally broken. I was watching Washington last week again, really dug into that game late at night. Those guys are good.
Yeah.
Man, they are explosive. I will say, I think they are a team you can continue to bet on. Those dudes score.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the bottom line. And they come out hot. They come out fast. They are a team to keep an eye on some first half numbers, on some first half overs, things like that. They get out and they get after it. Really like that football team. I am fascinated to see what's going to go on in that league, because Oregon, USC, Utah, Washington State, Oregon State, they're all good football teams.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the two worst teams in that league are Colorado and
Arizona State.
And Arizona State's not very good at all, which y'all never thought that I would have told you. Stanford wouldn't be down there, but I think they may be the third worst team in the league. Cal plays decent defense, but that offense is broken. They're not very good, but the top half of this league is really good. I mean, it is really good. It is definitely the haves and have-nots. So I think that's going to be a fun league. Big Ten's fun league to watch. It's the haves and have-nots. So it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how those two leagues play out as the season goes on. Excited for Oklahoma and Texas coming up next week. That's going to be a big football game. So I just think there's some really good things brewing on the horizon, setting up for a great year. I've heard people say that, boy, we wish we had a 12-team playoff. It does feel like this year that would be better than it would in years past. I think there are 8 or 10 teams that are pretty good football teams. People are talking about, with a 5 team wouldn't want to play number 12 this year. That might be an undefeated, whoever out of the Mountain West. And I'm like, dude, they would get trucked. That's just not the same. This isn't upset week. This isn't when you're overlooked. Man, it would be the playoffs. You're going to get teams with best shots. You're not going to have nearly as many upsets, I think, as people think. The good teams are going to win. I really believe that. But we'll see. I do think the transfer portal is leveling the playing field of college football. I also think that the mistake teams are making in the lower echelons, the bottom, they have got to go ravage the Sun Belt and the MAC and teams like that and get the best players instead of taking the Power 5 guys that people are putting on the road, because I don't think that's working as well for the second tier teams in conferences, the Mississippi States, the guys like that. You got to be able to go get premium talent.
I agree.
And where they're going to make a living is ravaging those guys from the Sun Belt and the second tier conferences that are good players.
Speaking of second tier conferences, could you name 4 teams in the American Conference?
Man, not now that they've yanked all these teams out. It's brutal. That league is not good.
That used to be the best G5 league. For the longest time. And now when I go look at it, I don't even know who's in there anymore. But, yeah, I do know who's in there. But, anyway, yeah, I agree with you. I think pulling these players through from these smaller conferences is how it's going to go. If you can get a kid that's played – you get a kid that's got 10 to 15 starts in the Sun Belt, and he's been at the training table, and he's in the training room, he can roll into a Power 5 roster if you get the right kid in there. And we've seen it happen time and time again.
When you're talking about the 3 favorites to win that league were UTSA, SMU, and Tulane. the bottom of that league is UAB, Charlotte, USF, and Tulsa. Color me out. I think Sun Belt's a much better league than that.
Oh, yeah, it is. UAB, Broy, Trent Dildo, that guy can't get out of his own way. And and Tulane's good. And don't kid yourself.
They're getting ready to get gas canned this week, I would think.
I've got me a Tulane ticket in my pocket because I am fading Trent Dildo all season long. That UAB team, boy, he took a great story and he has run that thing smooth into the dirt. We don't really have to get into Dabo and what was going on. Dabo could have won that game against Florida State. I thought that they played well. But I think
they really kept Florida State from being able to run the football.
They
which
did.
Surprised me.
Yeah, and so it's interesting what's going to happen out there. Clemson loses one more game, and I think you got to start scratching your head to figure out if somebody's going to have to. You think they're going to have to Jimbo Dabo, where you're going to have to convince Dabo? It's like, hey, coach, it's like we're going to have to change some things around here. I know you've had some success, but it might be time for us to fix a couple things. And speaking of Jimbo. My A&M 8-4 that I'm looking for this season took a little nick last night with Connor Wegman being out for the season. So thank God they got Max Johnson, and he looked good last week. And I'm hoping with a full week of practice going up there to Jerry World, he can get it done. Texas A&M's done really well in that series, but I'd have no opinion on the winner. But all that being said, Scott, that was last week. You ready to move forward here?
Man, let's get rolling. We got to get it hopping. It's a new week. We got to continue the run.
All right. It's Thursday night as we put these together. There's 3 different games: Middle Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, Tempe, Tulsa, Jacksonville State, and Sam will be playing 45 minutes from my house in Huntsville. I have no opinions, but I would lean to Western Kentucky, laying it against 6.5. The defense for Western Kentucky is terrible, but they can still sling it. They're not quite as effective as they have been last year with Austin Reed. Middle Tennessee State, though, I think Stockstill's done. This team's not very good this season. But the one that'll be interesting is I probably will have a little bit of a nip. This is not an official play, but I will have a little bit of a nip on the Jackson State, Sam Houston State under 36.5. Sam Houston State, who has scored 10 points. I'm not averaging. He scored 10 points through three games this season, and they're only running 51 offensive plays per game, so I may have a little nip there, Scotty. But the first game I got, let's go to Raleigh. Louisville rolls in here. They're averaging 38 points a game, only giving up 18. They're 5-0 straight up, 2-3 against the number. NC State's averaging 29 points a game, giving up 21. They're 3-1 straight up, and they are 0-4 against the number. I may buy the hook down, but I'm taking Louisville on the road to get the cover here, laying 3. NC State has not looked good. I really was excited about what we were going to get out of Armstrong and Anai when they got back together here. I have been underwhelmed watching this team. This team looks to me like it's Brandon Armstrong, and it's like, all right, kid, go out there and do good things. I have not been able to figure out what they're trying to do on offense. I think they've put too much pressure on him. And NC State's defense has taken a massive step back to me over the last couple of years. This was a defensive unit you could lean on 2 years ago. Last year, I thought they overperformed. I expected good things this year. I have not seen it so far. Louisville is getting it done. They are quietly 5-0. They've got a big game on deck next week, but I think they come in here and take care of business. I'm going to lay it with Louisville. I may buy the hook down, but I'll play it at -3.5. They're begging you to bet NC State at +3.5. That's the reason the hook's there. I'm taking Louisville. I think they cover this game easy on the road.
Yeah, here's what I like about Louisville. It's their ability to stop the run. And that is that's a big deal. They're only giving up 106 yards on the ground. On the defensive side of the football, if they can make NC State one-dimensional, that offensive line's not been very good. Armstrong's been having to run the football a ton. They make them one-dimensional, where it's just drop back and pass. I think this could get ugly. And I agree with you. I like laying the points here. Don't normally like doing that with home dogs, especially in early, midweek games. But I like this game on Friday night. I think NC State is in trouble. I do not like this offense. They're not doing anything that I was expecting. So I really, really like Louisville here.
Scotty, let's just jump right in. It just balls deep. Can we get to a MAC play on Saturday? Because we're going to run out of these pretty soon. Bowling Green will be traveling down to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech. Line here is 22. Over-under is 51. Georgia Tech scoring 34 points a game. They've been giving up 29. They're 2-2 straight up, 2-2 against the number. Bowling Green's only scoring 18 points a game. They're giving up 30. They're 1-3 straight up, 2-2 against the number. Mac, play me, Scotty. How are we going to do this?
I like me some Georgia Tech. I just think Bowling Green is ungood. That's basically all you need to know. I don't think this football team is good at all. I think they are going to have all kinds of problems. But last week against Ohio, that team did not look good at all. I mean, it was ugly. 38-7 the final, but that ball game could have gotten as ugly as they wanted it to get. Offensively, that team had 211 yards, Ohio, Bowling Green did. That just isn't going to get it done. And at the end of the day, I think Georgia Tech is going to beat them very much in the same manner as the way Ohio did last week. I expect this game to get ugly and get ugly early. I like Georgia Tech here.
Yeah, I do too. Georgia Tech, they good win against Wake Forest. The Ole Miss game is kind of misleading with the 48-23 score because they were in that game until
Kiffin
late.
Kiffin was trying to score. I'm telling you, Kiffin was trying to cover.
And the only other game that they lost was a shootout week one against Louisville, and that was a 34-39 game. And so we just backed Louisville because we talk about their explosion and we like their defense. I like what we've seen from Haynes King. I'm on board with this. I'm going to get down with it. The other thing is look at the number. What are they trying to tell you in Vegas? They're laying a 22. We talked about this last week with the Texas game, Texas against Baylor. That number was 15, and it was flat 15 all week. They're begging you to take the underdog in this spot. But you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to fall for that trick, baby, because we're going to lay some chalk against Bowling Green. This team's quarterback play is terrible. They don't have a coach that can coach quarterbacks there. Don't like what I'm seeing. Georgia Tech all the way. Scotty, let's go up there to a place that used to just be full of fat mouth breathers with no air conditioning. That's right, the Carrier Dome. Syracuse is playing Clemson in this spot. Syracuse at home getting 6.5. Over under here is 53. Clemson's scoring 36 points a game, giving up 22. They're 2-2 straight up, 1-3 against the number. Syracuse scoring 44 points a game, only giving up 10. They're 4-0 straight up and 3-0-1 against the number. Scotty, we got an old Mississippi State quarterback playing for Syracuse right now, and man, does he look good. But you know what I like most about this is how you can buy you a hook, get you up to a touchdown. Clemson has struggled at Syracuse several times. And, I mean, I'm talking about much better Clemson teams. Syracuse will get up for this game. And you know the reason they're only giving up 10 points, Scott, is because who's the new hire that coaches that defense for Syracuse?
Rocky Long, baby, giving up 89 yards rushing a game. Who would have thunk that playing a 3-3-5 in Syracuse? You got to love it, baby. That is a huge part of this equation for me. Look, Syracuse has played them tough a bunch in this ball game. Anyway, I really, really like it on the road. Candidly, they're a live dog for me. So they are my upset play this week for two reasons. Clemson laid it all on the line last week, and we've seen them go on the road. They did not look good against Duke. This is a much harder environment to play in. Carrier Dome's going to be loud.
Yeah.
You got a good 4-0 Syracuse football team. Better this year, fired up, experienced quarterback play. You got them coming in as a home dog. Syracuse, I like them in this ball game, and it's twofold. I think they're good enough to win it straight up. But I also love the spot because of what happened to Clemson last week. They played well enough to win that game. They got their guts ripped out. And at the end of the day, they feel like they should have won that football game. And it's tough to bounce back from that. So I like Syracuse here.
Yeah, I'm all with you on this one. I love Rocky Long, what he's doing. I also like the time slot this in. It's a noon kickoff in Syracuse. In Syracuse, it's a tough spot to get to. When you're coming from Greenville to get up there on top of the earth, I mean, you're practically flying into Canada when you get up to this spot up there. But I like everything I've seen from Syracuse this season. They look mature. Garrett Schrader has played fantastic. And so I'm with you. Let's roll with the orange, man. Scotty, staying on upset alert. Let's stay in the ACC. Notre Dame will make their trip down to play the Duke Blue Devils this week. Over-under here is 52. Duke's getting 5.5. Notre Dame scoring 40 points a game. They're only giving up 13. They're 4-1 straight up, 3-1-1 against the number. Duke scoring 37 points a game. They're giving up 8. They're 4-0, and they are 3-1 against the number. I like what I'm getting from Mike Elko at Duke. Man, he has done a really good job. And what I've really been impressed with is the fact that the offense is playing with tempo and this defense has stepped up to what they've been doing this season. And only giving up 8 points a game so far. We watched this team opening weekend just unravel Clemson. Clemson had no idea what to do with the mobile quarterback. They couldn't slow the offense down. And defensively, they shut them down. Notre Dame, I think we learned something last week in the sense that and the other thing, too, is they're in a similar spot that Clemson was in that we're playing there. This is a tough game that they bounce out of that game last week that they just played against Ohio State, which you know they've had circled all summer long, thinking, hey, we win this game, we're in the national title conversation. Now they've got to go out and play Sleepy Duke on a game where those guys are going to be amped up for this one. Line here is plus 5.5. I anticipate that line will go down, but I like Duke in this spot. Now, could I see Notre Dame come out and physically decide they want to win this game and beat this team and handle it? Yeah. But I think Duke's going to give it a big puncher shot in this one. Give me the Blue Devils plus 5.5.
Yeah, at the end of the day last year, at home, Duke never lost a game by more than 2 points. So they don't lose by this number. Excuse me, by 3 points, I meant to say. Because they lost by 3 in one game, 2 in another game. 3 to North Carolina, 2 to Pittsburgh, but they won every other home game. I like this game simply because I think Duke at home, experienced football team, solid on the defensive side of the football. They're better than I think, and I think they're faster than people expect. This team plays fast on defense, and I don't think people are aware of how good this team is defensively. It is a very veteran ball club. Elko's a defensive guy. I just think they're going to stay within the number here. But I could see them winning this game for very much the same reason that I said about Clemson in the previous game. They got their guts ripped out last week. And you talk about a team that really thinks they should have won the football game. Notre Dame really thinks they should have won that football game, even more so than Clemson. I mean, that is a game they let get away from them. I mean, they had control of that football game for literally 56 minutes and didn't figure out a way to get it done. And that is a tough, tough way to go, going down to play a really good football team that's going to be yoked to play this football game, thinks they're probably – look, Duke, that locker room thinks they're the better football team. That if they win this game, they won't be surprised. They're coming into this game believing they're good enough to win this game, and I think they are too. But I really like it getting points.
Yeah, I'm with you here, and I won't be surprised if we don't have a little upset in that spot. Scotty, that being said, let's get to another game. We're going to be up in the state of Virginia. South Alabama is going to be traveling up to play James Madison. Over under here is 49.5. James Madison's laying 3. South Alabama scoring 29 points a game, giving up 24. They're 2-2 straight up, 1-3 against the number. James Madison scoring 34 points a game. They're giving up 22 a game. They're 4-0 straight up, 2-2 against the number. How are we going to roll with this in the Sun Belt, baby?
Man, you know I've liked – there's two small teams I've liked all year. And South Alabama has not been good against the spread, but I still think they're a very, very good football team. So I'm going to roll with South Alabama here. I think it's too many points. They're only 1-3 against the spread, 2-2 overall. James Madison's undefeated, but I like South Alabama here. I think they're going to play. I think it's going to be a dogfight. Again, I think they've got a legitimate chance to win this football game. As an underdog, I think it's going to be a slugfest. Give me the Jaguars, baby. I like them catching the points.
These are my two favorite teams in the Sun Belt this year. And so I am really looking forward to watching this game. I don't think James Madison can win the Sun Belt again, though. They've got that stupid, if you move up, you can't win the conference rule or something like that. But
I think that was just last year. I think they can this year.
Is it? I need to go look and see. But James Madison's only missing a quarterback from being a really, really good football team. But I am going to play South Alabama here, getting 3. I think that most of the public will be on James Madison. Let's be honest, a whole lot of people aren't going to be watching this game. But I'll roll with you, the Jaguars, +3. Scotty, can we get down to your home state? Can we get down to the Magnolia State and talk about some football that we've got here? We got two big games this week, and we're going to be playing on both of them. Let's start with LSU Ole Miss. Over under here is 67.5. Ole Miss is getting 2.5. LSU scoring 43 points a game, giving up 25. They're 3-1 straight up, 2-2 against the number. Ole Miss scoring 42 points a game. They're giving up 19. They're 3-1 straight up, 3-1 against the number. I'll give you my handicap first, and I'll see how it aligns with what you've got going. LSU has got one issue from a defensive standpoint is you can catch them in the back. And if you've got a mobile quarterback, that could be an issue for you. But right now, with what I've seen from Jackson Dart and this Ole Miss offense is they can't run the ball. I don't know what's wrong with Quishon Judkins or the offensive line, but they haven't been able to do that. So I think part of their numbers that they're putting up is a little bit of fool's gold, like we talked about in the Georgia Tech game early. They got a lot of garbage touchdowns at the end of that one. LSU here, I feel like they're starting to get things right offensively. They're playing really well. And I like – last week they won a clunker against Arkansas. No doubt about it, but they did go ahead and get the win. Plus, I've seen this matchup before. I've seen Brian Kelly in this offense play against Pete Golding's defense. And, oh, by the way, he beat him last year, and he had better talent because he was the defensive coordinator at Alabama. I know this game's at Ole Miss. Ole Miss has struggled against LSU. It's their kryptonite. You're getting minus – you're not even having to lay a field goal in this one. Go ahead and give me the LSU Tigers. I don't think Ole Miss can expose them here. I think LSU wins this game handily.
Yeah, I agree with you across the board here. The quarterback play for LSU, Jaden Daniels, has been outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, he's having a really, really good year. I think that's a big part. I think it's a big part of what I like about this ball game. Their run game is coming around, and I think that's making LSU a better football team. That game last week against Arkansas, very much what I expected. Don't expect a letdown here. This Ole Miss LSU game is actually a pretty big rivalry game, and it has been for years. I mean, dating back to Billy Cannon returning the punt that won him the Heisman, that's against Ole Miss. And Ole Miss was number one in the country in that ball game. So, I mean, you're going all the way back to the 50s and 60s talking about how long this has been a big football game. Both these fan bases get excited to play this game. I don't think LSU has any problem bouncing back to play this ball game. Now, next week at Missouri, expect a flat spot from the Tigers, baby. I'll be on the Missouri Tigers next week, most likely. But give me LSU here. I think they're gonna drill them. I think they'll be ready to play. But LSU will have a flat spot next week with two back-to-back road games and against two pretty good football teams coming off that physical game against Arkansas last week. And next week will also be looking ahead 3 out of 4 road games for the Tigers. So this is a tough stretch of the schedule for these guys, but I think Saturday they get it done and they cover this small number in Oxford.
Yep, I'm with you, baby. I'm laying it. Suck that Tiger dick, baby. All right, Scotty, let's do your favorite thing. We've gone this far without having to talk about Mississippi State. Mississippi State has got Alabama this weekend. What's the game number on that one?
I will find that.
185. Got it here. Alabama will be traveling to Mississippi State. They'll be in Stark, Vegas. Over under here is 46.5. Mississippi State is getting 14.5. Bama has scored 30 points a game, giving up 13, 3-1 straight up, 2-2 against the number. Mississippi State scoring 31 points a game, giving up 27, 2-2 straight up, and 1-3 against the number. What can we expect from your baby Bulldogs?
Full beatdown. That's what you can expect on Saturday. I expect a full beatdown from the Alabama Crimson Tide. They have dominated this game. I mean, just look, they've dominated State on a win-loss record since the 50s. I mean, it is bad. I mean, they have really – State didn't win in this ball game from 57 to 80. They won in 1980. That was their one win. Then they didn't win again until, I think, 96. So, I mean, they won one game in, 40 years? I mean, Alabama's dominated this rivalry to begin with. They have really dominated it since Dan Mullen left. I mean, they have just – absolutely destroyed Mississippi State. It has been 41-0 in 20. I mean, that's just beat down. 38-7 in 19. 24-0 in 18. State should have scored there. That was a bad call, but they still would have lost by 17. But the spread was 22 in that ball game. In 21, 49-9. And that was at home. And then 22, 30-6. And that's when Mike Leach is like, State can't play the jersey. That's the way it looks. And this is just like Baylor last week. Identical. Same number. Same. They're daring you. They want you to take Mississippi State. Oh, State's fixed their offense. They're going to throw the ball again. And Will Rogers is back. Bama's going to destroy State Saturday. State's got a better chance of upsetting Bama than they do covering 14.5. They're going to get the heck beat out of them on Saturday. It's not going to be close. Take Alabama, cash your check, and head on down the road.
Oh, that's some good shit right there. Scotty, that is what we got for the board this week. I got a couple other games of interest. I'll throw those out there. Houston, Texas Tech. I am leaning to an under here at 51. Line's already been beat up. It opened at Tech minus 10. I don't know how you could lay 10. I would bet Houston here, but backing Dana Hologram is hard. Tech's quarterback, Taylor Shuck, broke his foot. He's out. Broke his leg. He's out. The backup quarterback, Morton, younger kid. He's a sophomore, came in last week. He got beat up. From everybody I've talked to in Lubbock, they're going to jack that kid up with everything they can on Saturday and hope he goes. But they're running a lot of wide receiver, wildcat type stuff. So you could see a grinder of a game that's out there. But Houston hasn't looked good. I could lean to the under as we'll still get winds 51. We'll get winds over 15 miles an hour in that one. I am really interested in Georgia and Auburn also. I would love to lay Georgia minus 14.5. Auburn, to me, their offense is not good. and they do not have a quarterback. And I just kind of wonder if this is kind of the game Georgia wakes up a little bit. They haven't really overwhelmed anybody. Nobody's seen them play because they haven't played anybody. And this is a big rivalry game, huge game. Most people think about Auburn and Alabama as the Iron Bowl, but this is a giant game for these two teams. And I could see Georgia coming in here and putting it on Auburn, but I haven't laid anything as of yet.
In my lifetime, this game's been as much fun as any game to watch in the Southeastern Conference every year. There have been some wild games in this series. I mean, I think we all remember the bounce off the helmet, and Auburn runs it in late in the ball game to win the game. But I mean, there's been some physical, hard fought football games over the years. This is a big rivalry.
Yeah.
I mean, a big ball game. And it's so odd for them to be playing in September. I mean, I'm used to this being second week of November, getting it on. But, I think Auburn needed to get this moved away from Alabama a little bit. That was two huge games right there together. And I think it probably helps them long term to do this. Did you see Hugh Freeze this week talking about building his program? And, you know, it just takes time to get your culture in. And, you know, and then he goes to Kirby Smart and he's like, I mean, it took him, you know, 3 or 4 years to get it going and get everything on track. And one of the media guys is like, he played for the national championship in year two. And Freeze is like,
oh,
really?
Oh,
he's like, his press conference was fabulous. And then he goes, well, I don't think that's right. And they're like, oh, it's right. And he's like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Year two? Like, oh, the bar's that high here on the plains? Yeah, brother, don't do what you're doing next year. You better get it going. The plains is not a patient place. So just know what you're getting. Oxford, baby, you are not the shining star anymore. It is go beat Nick Saban, and go beat Kirby Smart. That's your two jobs. So not an easy task. I agree with you. I'm fascinated to see this game. I don't know who they are. Their offense does look broken. I want to see who Georgia is.
Yeah, I do too.
Because I don't think we know. I know this Auburn defense is pretty good. And so we're going to get to see what that offense does because we don't know who they are. Quarterback play. Look, new offense coordinator, Mike Bobo. He's always been kind of mad at me. But last week, everybody thinks that offense, and he kind of found his stride. We'll see. At the end of the day, I need to find out who both of these football teams are before I get behind that. But a game not on the board for us, and I would try to buy the hook on this. Man, keep riding Fresno, baby. That football team's winning. They're kicking people's tail. They are by far the best team in that conference. And they legit have a chance to go undefeated if you look at the schedule the rest of the way. They don't get hurt. They got a chance to go undefeated. So kind of like me some Fresnac. Right here. I mentioned Washington earlier.
I'm going to play it.
I think that over-under line is 67. I think it's down to 67 from 69.5. That'll be an interesting ball game. Or Arizona has gone under in every ball game this year. So that's a stat, and that's the reason that number's dropping. But I think I like me some Washington first half in this ball game too.
I could get involved with that. I may go and fade Baylor one more time. You got UCF first Big 12 home game at the Bounce House Sunday or Saturday afternoon playing this Baylor team that is a mess. I could easily see UCF getting away with this one. I'm going to have to dig into this one a little bit because Reese Plumlee's still out. And so I need to go back and watch some game flow with them. But Baylor, I would fade them. I kind of like Maryland. I mean, there's a bunch of lines out there that are just – they're begging you to bet it. I mean, Maryland laying 14.5. I am not a Josh Gattis fan, the offensive coordinator at Maryland. But this team's sneaky good. I mean, they're 4-0 straight up. I've played them a couple of times. This Indiana squad's not good. But if you go into the snake pit, I could see Indiana not getting it done here and Maryland stretching this one out. I might buy the hook down to 14. But they're begging you to bet Indiana, giving you that hook in that spot that's there. I kind of like Georgia State over Troy. It's pretty much a pick 'em. Georgia State's laying 1. I was really impressed with Georgia State last week. I think the Sun Belt play has been fantastic. But I can see this. Troy's offense has not been good. And last year they were able to lean on their defense. And their defense is not as strong as it was last year. And so I could definitely get down with some Georgia State that we've got there. Past that, I don't know if I've got much else. I mean, Oregon State, Utah, again, -3.5. DJ Ungulele has looked 70% good, is what we'll call it. And Utah's offense has really struggled without Cam Rising. They don't have a pick six last week, and it's 7-7. That could be a different game in that UCLA game. But I'll stay away from that one as well. But we'll see what we're going to do.
I will tell you one. Let me give you stinky play of the week.
Okay.
We'll go back to the MAC for my boy Joe Slow-Mo Moorhead. Laying 2.5 at Akron against Buffalo. Buffalo's not very good. Akron's not very good either. But laying 2.5, can Akron get it done at home? I might do it just for fun, just to throw some popcorn money at it, just so I can say that I was there when Akron won as a home favorite.
Oh, boy. I'm not against that. I'm going to have to go back and see when the last time. I don't think Akron's been favored since Bowden was there and the team actually played for the MAC championship that year. That's got to be the last time they were favored. And that's had to have been close to 10 years.
It's been a long time. And Buffalo, man, they have fallen off a cliff. The other game that I'm interested to watch, I will not play this, but it feels like that Texas has got – that number looks big to me with Oklahoma on deck.
Yeah.
Kansas is explosive. I think that may turn into a shootout is what I think it may turn into.
Yeah, I think if you get – if you want to play that game by the hook, get you 17 points – obviously, Kansas has played Texas close and won a couple of different times at this point. And so I wouldn't be against
which I think is why they don't overlook this football game. Yeah. I think they're because of a couple of those ball games. I think that's one reason they don't overlook it. But I think this could turn into a shootout.
I could see that happening too. And the back door is so big in this game. And so there's an easy way that you could be laying, you know, like I said, if you're getting 17 – this game, you get a late touchdown in the fourth quarter, and you're right back in this thing. So, yeah, I could get down with that. But, Scotty, that's all I got. Here's what my plan is I've already loaded up on the Bama Crimson Tide. Give me the big red elephant. I did buy the hook down to 14. I got LSU -2.5 for probably two of my favorite plays. I like Louisville again, but I'm going to also play me a little round robin money line parlay on our three dogs that we've got this week because I think all three of them could be live dogs and get the upset wins.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. Obviously, Alabama, Mississippi State is my favorite number. I think State can't get off the field. I mean, that's what's really wrong with this football team. They can't get off the field. I think they make the Alabama quarterback look like he's gotten right. The defensive back play has not been very good. You go look, and I think they've only – because Rattler's numbers were incredible, and I should have pulled this up, and I apologize for not, but I think – against LSU, last two SEC ball games, State's only forced 7 incompletions. You're going to get smoked. You can make quarterbacks look really good when you can't get any pressure on the quarterback. State can't get any pressure on the quarterback. That's a bad offensive line, and they couldn't get Rattler off step last week. And while the Alabama offensive line has got some problems as well, State's not going to be able to expose it. Their best pass rusher, defensive tackles, that's bad. I mean, they've got to blitz. You blitz a running quarterback, don't get home, and it leads to man-to-man and big runs. That's playing in Alabama's favor. I'm telling you, bet what you're comfortable betting on this. Bama's going to drill State.
Let's get it going. Scotty, we've been hot. Let's hope we don't stumble this week. I feel good about the board. Not a huge board, but I like what's out there. Folks, give us some love on some Twitter. Give us a few reviews. We've tried to put some money in your pocket, giving you a few wins. That being said, we'll sign off, and we will talk to you next week.